Looking in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 20, rather, chapter 20 and verse 6. And about the 11th hour he went out, Jesus speaking here, and says in this parable, and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. This is an interesting parable that the Lord Jesus gives, and I've only picked two verses out of it. Mark it in your Bible, put a piece of paper there or something, return to it yet today if you can, or during the week at least, and let the Lord speak to you through this chapter. But I want to speak to you about what these people have said when an employer came to them and said, Why are you here? Why are you standing doing nothing? And the answer that they had was, Because we don't have anything to do. Because no person has hired us. When I was young, I remember different places in the city where people would gather together who were looking for employment. And people would stand in a particular area, was designated by tradition. It was designated over a period of time that a man who had a small construction company or had some kind of trade or needed somebody for unloading a truck would go to that area and say, I need two men for laborers. And I think of one place, 8 Mile and Gratiot, was a place where that men just came together and waited, and people would come along and say, Hey, I need three men for a day, or I need three men for this or that, and here, I'll go. And they would go away and get a day's pay. Well, that didn't begin with Detroit. It didn't begin with us. That's something that's gone on for a long time. People with abilities have made themselves available for people who've had needs. And Jesus is talking about exactly the same thing. A man who had a great farm needed people to work in it. And so he went and got people at different times of the day, and they'd gone to work. And finally he came. It was almost the close of the day. The 12th hour of the day was 3 o'clock. This is the 11th hour, so I assume it was prior to this. And so here he calls to them and says, What are you doing standing here doing nothing? And they answered him and said, What did they say? They said, Because no man hath hired us. In the world that we live today, there's multitudes of people who feel exactly like that. I have no purpose in life. I have nothing that's really worth doing. There's no real purpose for me. I'm living, but there's no real deep reason, meaning for my life. But if we stop and ask God, we'll find out that God has gone out into the earth and God has hired every single one of us. And there's none of us that can say today that we're standing and nobody has hired us, because God has called every single one of us for a purpose. The wife that's home with her children taking care of them, often you'll hear things that seem to indicate that the world believes that a mother at home, a housewife, really doesn't have much of a job. But if you'll stop by God and see what He has to say about it, He will tell you, I have hired you, you are working, and I will pay you. And I will pay you for your job. Mom, when you're raising those children, you're raising those children for God. You're raising those children for Jesus Christ. The father might be a man who has not much ability to share much substance with you. For some men, it's because they lack a real ability to have great income. Others have the lack of capacity to share out of their hearts, or whatever they have, they may keep most of it to themselves. And it might seem like you're not going to get what it is due you, but God says, I'll give you every bit it's worth. And when God says that one soul is worth more than all the gold in the world, I think that we can understand that God appreciates and respects people in the employment of raising children. I think that it's good for us to understand that you're not just raising your kids, but you're raising His children.
You're raising God's children. God fashioned and formed those children. They're His as well as your stewardship. It belongs to Him, those little children. And God will reward you for what you pour into their lives. It is a noble task. It is something that God has ordained. And if you will let the Holy Spirit minister to you, He will bless you and prosper you in your work and in your endeavor. There are people today, perhaps have other situations, where they feel like it's not important at all. I go to church, but I really don't do much. I'm a person who maybe helps out in ushering, or I help out in some other area of the church. And that's, if you want to call that my job, I guess I am hired of the Lord. Listen, child of God, it is not the position as much as the relationship you have. You are hired of God. And whatever you do in ministry, I challenge you, do it with all your heart. My heart gets grieved sometimes because people have a job to do. And during the time of that job, they'll find themselves distracted. Listen, my relationship to you is on a small basis. I relate to you while I preach in this service. I relate to you as you listen to me on a radio broadcast. I relate to you as you see me on television. I relate to you if you have a special counseling appointment, which is a relatively short period of time. And during that time, my prayer is, God, let me give this people all I've got. If I'm going to sleep, let it be another time. If I'm going to escape, let it be another time. But during the time that I'm employed, my God, let me do it to the best of my ability. Often a mom will find herself frustrated with bills that are due. She'll look around about her and see the task that's given her. And she'll find herself such frustration coming inside. And as she feels this frustration, she finds the kids come through the door. It's not every hour that you have with those children. It's only a part of your time. Many hours they're away from you in sleep, and other times they are away from you in moments when they're at school. But the important time is the time that you spend together. That's the time that you're hired of God in a special way with those children. And believe that God can bring you to victory so that you're imparting life, so that you're imparting discipline, so that you're imparting what God wants to be imparted, so that you give unto them all that they need. And every bit of it will not be a coo and a smile, but every bit of it will be an understanding that God is speaking to your heart to cause something good to happen. You're employed in that moment, and God is going to reward you for your labor. It may be but a 5-minute period of time that you'll ever spend with one particular brother, a phone call that he gives to you at a time when you would rather watch television, you'd rather do something else, and in that moment you have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to give him a quick answer and send him on his way and be careless? Or am I going to listen to him, and while I listen to him, pray, my God, give me the right word to say. My God, don't let me respond with what I've been feeling all day. Don't let me respond with my attitude that's been building. But my God, this is a moment when I'm hired of you to minister life, and God, help me to do just that. We're hired of God. It may be the 11th hour. It might be almost 3 in the afternoon. And perhaps wrap-up time is going to be 5:30. It may be but a portion of a working day that God has called us. But whatever period of time He asks from us, whatever period of time in our life, the quality that He demands is the same quality that He demands of anybody. If you're going to live, not only serve God, but if you're going to live, give life all that you've got. You see, we talk about serving God, and many times we'll build the thought, if you're going to serve God, give God all that you have. And that's true, and I couldn't put it more clearly. But at the same time, serving God is more than what we consider serving God to be. Serving God is living. And if you're going to live, live with all that you've got. If you're going to live, give it everything you have. If God has called you and caused you to live, then say, God, I want to live an abundant life. I want to give it everything it demands. You have hired me, God. I'm going to get a reward. I want to give you everything you've got coming. I want to live an abundant life. I want to live a rich life. I want to know how far I can go as a human being who's been blessed by my Creator, who's been given life by Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with life and we have a relationship with God. And if there's anything that God hates, it's sloppy living. I think that sometimes God appreciates blind sinners who live to the best of their ability than careless Christians who live with much less than the will of God being accomplished in their lives. We as God's people ought to sense inside a hunger and a desire to win, to be victorious, to find out how far we can go. And you'll never know how far you can go until you test your limit. Until you test your limit, you don't learn by sitting, you learn by moving. There's an activity in life. You're never going to find joy except you understand that no person is without employment. Nobody's called to stand at 8 Mile Road and let the world go by. There's a God who comes by every morning. And if you miss him in the morning, stay there at noon. And if it's 3 o'clock, don't go home yet, because God drops by and he says, I want you. I'll give you employment. I'll put you to work. There's a reason why you were born. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So many of us, we feel that if it doesn't come at the prescribed time, there's no work. I was here this morning and I didn't get hired, so I'll go home. Listen, work is the principle. The very thing that God does is make a place for us. And if it doesn't happen when you're 20, then wait till you're 30. But hang in there. And if it doesn't happen when you're 30, then believe God when you're 40. And when it doesn't happen when you're 40, then believe God when you're 50. But believe that God has something special for every human being. There's nobody left on the outside. He sooner or later gets everybody in the field. He puts everybody into something that's wonderful. If you will wait upon God, he will bless you. His word is true. Now, work is the craziest thing in the world if you don't understand God. I don't want to wait around here anyhow because I don't like to work. Who wants to work? I think I'll go fishing. Peter said that. And then God went out in the lake and hired him again. Because when Peter got out fishing, he found out that fishing didn't satisfy him. Though it had its purpose, he had been brought to a relationship so much higher that what once satisfied him couldn't satisfy him any longer. And work is something that is hard for us to understand. When we're young especially, when I was a young man, an old man said to me, work is the greatest blessing in the world. I felt sorry for the guy. I thought old age was a bad enough curse. He was almost 50 years old. Pitiful. And with his age, he was demented. Poor guy thought that work was a blessing. I looked at him and I marveled that somebody could be so twisted. And yet, God uses work. The ability of the investment of our energy, our skill, our mind, and our time to create. Brother, there is nothing greater than in all the world than to create. To create an interest in somebody else for Jesus is the greatest task you'll ever know. To create a right attitude in your children is the most fantastic thing that you can do. Believers work among people, and believers are mountain movers. They're people changers. Not for the worst, but for the best. We're a people who can change the moment that we live in to the degree that we understand what God has invested in people. He has called us into the harvest field. He has called us into that place where we can look and see substance and reality. He's called us into life, and we, with our effort and with our energy and with our enthusiasm, can change the moment we live in from being despair to joy. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ the Lord. I tell you, there's so many things that God has that's exciting. I think about the thing that he has called choice. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 13, choose life or choose death. They're both before you. And he says, I encourage you to choose life. And here a man stands, and either he's going to be destroyed or he's going to be exalted to a place where he brings glory to God. And what will happen? Lady Luck is going to smile toward him. The breaks are going to come his way. He's going to be born with a silver spoon in his mouth. His daddy was somebody special, so he's got it easy. No, he makes a choice. I will live. And because he makes a choice, he goes to high places. Hallelujah. God has made us wonderfully. We're tremendously made. We haven't even begun to understand what power men have. And one of the greatest powers that we have, fantastic, is that you have the power to influence somebody else. You have the power to influence somebody else. Not only can you give a dollar to the Lord, you can reach out and cause somebody else to do the same thing. I think about a particular person this week. He took a case of candy. I called him and I said, hey, I wonder if you'll do something for me. I wonder if you'll get rid of a case of candy for me. He said, sure. I said, how many's in it? Enough. 96. 96? We have big cases. And so he said, okay, that's friendship for you. But he went out and he said to other people, he said, hey, give me a dollar. He said, what for? Don't worry about it. Just give me a dollar. And he was able to influence other people. He was able to cause other people to do what he was doing. Church, you're not doing anything until you get other people doing what you're doing. Your children, your wives, your husband, your neighbors, your friends. We've got to get others. Hallelujah. And we have the power to do so. Business place he was at, called him on the intercom, said, come on in. Went on in, and they said, what you up to? And so he told them. They picked out their big ledger, ripped off a check and signed it and gave it to him, said, go give it to the church. Hallelujah. Why? Because the world will never respect you except you get off your rear end and do something. The world knows how success comes. Success doesn't come from feeling sorry for yourself. Success doesn't come from wondering why you don't get the blessings. Success doesn't come from wondering why nobody likes you. Success comes from knowing that there's a place where people get hired, and I'm going to stay there till they notice me. I'm going to be hired. I'm going to get blessed. Hallelujah. There's a God who cares, and he's a God who will cause people to find a purpose in their life. A purpose must begin first of all, though, from the definition of a purpose. And if you would know the definition of a purpose, you may go to Webster's Dictionary. But if you would really know the definition of purpose, you would go to him who is the eternal word and say, my God, give me an understanding of purpose and set me, dear God, in a place where you want me to be. Hallelujah. Shirley and I were in a restaurant. I was overhearing a conversation of two men sitting at another table adjoining ours. One man was from California. He said to this friend, He said, I've come and we've been friends for a long time. My life is going through changes. I don't know what to do about making a change in employment. I don't know what to make changes. I'm really finding myself threatened in the middle of my age. I don't know really what I ought to do, and I thought that maybe you could help me. And the other man said, you know, there's a book called the Bible. And he said, you ought to take notice of that book. And that book teaches that there's a purpose for every person born. I felt like yelling, hallelujah. Glory to God. This man may not have been a deep Christian. I doubt if he was a charismatic. He was ordering something down the hatch that I sure wouldn't order. And I hope I don't catch you ordering it. And yet he was serving a purpose in that afternoon. He was turning somebody toward God. And every single one of us, we are called to serve a purpose, not garbage. Not garbage. You say, well, do you mean you'll never get mad? Yes, you'll get mad. Jesus got angry, went into the temple, saw a bunch of crooks in there who are cheating the people, changing money. They had animals in the kingdom, in the temple. He took and turned their tables over. He told those animals, get out of here. And he said to the people, you go next. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. But there's a difference. Your anger's not going to be self-anger. It's not going to be self-pity. It's not going to be the anger because you've been mistreated. But you're going to look and see a world that's going to hell that doesn't have to go to hell. And you're going to say, church, get up and move forward in the name of the Lord. Your anger's going to be toward injustice that doesn't have to be. Your anger's going to be toward your own laziness. That doesn't have to remain. Your anger is going to be towards your own attitude. That's cost you too much. I remember the story of a man who'd gone to the racetrack. Never been there before in his life. Went up to the window and he pulled out a $20 bill and said, put it on so and so. Never knew the horse, never knew nothing about it. But 15 minutes later, he had himself a bundle of money. And he said to himself, this is the way to do it. I never knew that money could come so easy. I never knew that fortune could smile upon a person so well, so fast. And in that moment, because his first experience with sin was pleasant, he was hooked. And there's a whole lot of people, their first experience with sin's been somewhat pleasant, and they become hooked. The worst thing I think that can happen to somebody is to commit sin and get away with it. That's the worst thing that can happen, to commit sin and not have to pay a price. Because you're beginning to live a lie. You begin to think you can get away with it. Nobody can get away with sin. Sin is expensive. And that's why after you get saved, you think, man, I got so many ways to have fun and I've got so many ways to have a good time. And I guess I should give them up because Jesus was good to me. Listen, you better see that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. You better see it clearly. Because if you don't, your story will be somewhat similar to this man's. And so he took from that moment and he poured a business into the track and lost it. Poured a marriage into the track and lost it. Poured another business in the track and lost it. Poured a third business into the track and lost it all because he won the first time. And in that moment, deep etched in his brain, there was something that said, here's a secret that I didn't know. Here's the way to make it. It was the worst thing that could ever have happened to him. And finally one day, he walked away from that track. He'd got all of his money gone with just a few coins left in the palm of his hand. He turned around to that racetrack. And for the first time, he said, you beat me, you dirty track. You beat me. And for the first time, he hated it. He hated it with his heart, and he took the money left, and he threw it as hard as he could at it, and said, you have beat me, you rotten track. You beat me. But God delivered him Because he looked and saw that if it's a contest between you and sin, you can't win. No way. If it's a contest between you and adultery, you can't win. Hear me, man out there. Married and still finding out that there's things struggling inside of you. If it's a contest between you and adultery, you can't win. And sooner or later, it will make one terrible fool out of you. But if you'll look at it and say, you beat me, you dirty thing, God will reach down and he'll set you free by the power of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
As long as you believe a lie, that lie will destroy you. It will pull you down. You have to understand that the lies of hell hold people captive. Where do people fall apart? It's in their mind. That's where it is. You name everything that's noble and it's an attitude. He's loving, it's an attitude. He's giving, it's an attitude. He's forgiving, it's an attitude. He's cheerful, it's an attitude. He spends time with his children, it's an attitude. He appreciates his wife, it's an attitude. He raises his hands and worships God, it's an attitude. He's cheerful in trouble, it's an attitude. He wins, it's an attitude. He's blessed, it's an attitude. He has eternal life. It's because of God's power in his life changing our attitudes and giving us something we couldn't get ourselves. Good-looking girl that's ugly. It's her attitude that makes her ugly. And I have yet to see many good-looking women get into a fender scrape who weren't ugly when they got outside that car. Oh, they looked all right. But ugliness is an attitude. And the power of Jesus Christ works in our minds. But as he works in our minds, he lets us know that we're hired to bring glory to God. Hallelujah. We're put to work. And God has called us to do, to move, to breathe, to speak, to share. We're a people who are able to do something. Let me share with you what I've found in the church. You can have a study on Romans. You can have a lot of people out for first chapter. Man, you get down the middle of it and you're shaking hands with two people in the class. Why? Because life demands that we invest something. Our time. We've got to make ourselves available. Why didn't you bless me with your word, God? You weren't at the corner where God blesses. You weren't there. You got preoccupied with something else. You've got to make yourself available if God is going to bless you. You've got to make yourself available. And there's people here today. I don't want your money. I want you to grow. You give your money if you grow. But come back and expose yourself to the Spirit of God. Expose yourself to the power of God. You'll never be changed if you don't get to the corner where God is hiring people.
Hallelujah.
Life is the greatest miracle that could ever have been given to any creation. He's given us that which is of himself. You're alive today. You say you call this living, the money that they give me a month. You call this living with a husband like I got. You call this living with these children to have to raise. Yes, I call it living. I don't care what goes wrong, it's still living, and it can be the abundant life. You can laugh at everything that comes against you and say, you can't destroy me. Greater is this thing called life than anything that comes against me. I have made a choice. I've made a choice to live.
Hallelujah.
God says, I set before you life and death. Live, don't die. Choose to live. You say, well, listen, living is not a choice. It's something I found out. One day I moved my finger and it moved. And so I heard that this was alive. I breathed a couple times and Because I couldn't quit, I still am breathing, so I'm living. No. Adam and Eve in the garden, God said, when you rebel against me, the day that you disobey me, you shall surely die. And they could have stood and looked at each other and said, God didn't know what he was talking about. We still live. Listen, we don't know what life is. We are only exploring the possibility of living. We haven't even begun to understand how great this thing is, because we have shared our time with dead people. We live with about a 15% of joy and optimism and activity, and we think it's life. You haven't even begun to understand what it is to live when God says living. I believe God's got something for us so fantastic that we can't even begin to conceive it for today. Living is a choice. Living is a choice that cancels the choice to die. Living is a choice. I'm going to live a God moment. I'm going to get a God reward. God is the one who hires me. I'm not going to get minimal wage. I'm going to get kingdom wage when I give but a cup of cold water toward a child of God. My God will reward me. You say, how can God reward me? Our union just voted for a 10% cut in wages. The government takes so much out for income tax, Social Security, and now the city is up theirs. How can God reward me? I only got so much coming in. Take another breath. Take another breath. It all doesn't come in the paycheck. Take another breath. It's bigger than that. Take another breath. Where you're getting it from the universe. You're getting it. Take a glass of water. It's been here for tens of thousands of years. What you have isn't what's coming on a piece of paper called a check. You are experiencing life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I don't have enough. Then create. He's given you the power to create. Go out and create something. Create what? I don't care. Start with anything. Get into the habit. Create some joy. Create some confidence. Create some happiness. Create. I don't care. Start. Create. I'll tell you what later. Just get doing it. Hallelujah. Took my two little kids out this last week. Somebody said that if people sold candy, they give a prize for the person who sold the most. My kids weren't too interested, a little bit before then. Boy, all of a sudden their eyes lit up. They said, let's go, Dad. Let's go. There's something in it for us. Hallelujah, there's something in it for us. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There's something in it for us. We're escaping our prison. There's something in it for us. Our mind is being loosed. There's something in it for us. The gospel is the power of God, and it brings blessing. There is something in it for us. Hallelujah. Freedom from spirits of inferiority, bitterness, discouragement. Hallelujah. And so you sit and say, well, God don't do nothing for me. He doesn't want to do anything for you. He wants to do it with you and through you. Hallelujah. God wants a good time. Give him a good time. Go and he'll go with you. Open your mouth and he'll fill it. He uses people to live his life through us. We went out to Duff's. We were in the wrong place. People came out and they didn't say no. They said no and laughed. Said, man, I came here because I'm a glutton. I've eaten so much I can't stand it. I'm 2,000 calories over. 20. I don't need no other candy bar. You're the wrong place. I said, we better get out of here. Kirk said, yeah, Ma said that. You shouldn't come here. So he went down to Kmart. Figured people would be interested in steel and plastic and they'd be hungry. So I said, you go ahead. Go to it, kids. I asked Shirley to come. She said, I'm not going to be embarrassed by you bunch. No way. And I said, well, I'm not going to be embarrassed. I walked down the sidewalk a little bit. I said, go do it. You can. A lot of us Christians, we're telling everybody else what to do, and we're not doing it ourselves. Rejoice. Yeah, go ahead, you know. So they said, you want a candy bar? No, I don't want none. I said, go ahead, kids. If you get 10 no's, somebody's going to say one. I read it in a book one time. I said, go ahead. If you get 10 no's, you get a one. They got 10 no's, didn't get one. I felt responsible for this thing. I created a vision. They couldn't lose. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. You ask 100 people, I'll buy the whole bunch. Every time you ask 100, I'll buy one. I was willing to buy the whole bunch back, as long as they could keep going. But I didn't have to. They kept on, and all of a sudden somebody said yes. And their eyes got that big around. Another person said yes, and they come running back, here, Dad, here's a dollar. They sold 55 in about 2 hours' time, two kids. Yeah. Created the profit of maybe a fifth of some people's ADC check. Now, I'm not making no slams at all, but I'm telling you that there are a lot more ways to win than what the devil will ever tell you. And they created something in that moment. They created a blessing with their time and their attitude. They created something. They came back with something in their hands. Something that was energy. They brought back money because they did something. Listen, God will hire you. And there is energy in the world that can be tapped for the kingdom of God, for yourself, for your family. The kingdom's not on relief. The kingdom is with power and authority. It's in the name of Jesus. You can win. You say you against welfare, ADC? Of course not. It's like somebody saying to somebody in a hospital, get up and go to work. People are in hospitals because they're sick. People on relief have a need. But I tell you, there's a God who can change your life. And you may have felt that there was no hope for you, but God can cause you to be blessed. And when you count your options and you say, one of my options is not welfare and one of my options is not ADC, it might be for today, but it's not for eternity. God has blessed me. It will happen. Hallelujah. It will happen. He gives you power. He hires you to get the job done. He hires you to bring glory to his name. He hires you to create. Those men that were hired in the 11th hour, there was a field where a harvest had been created out of a little bit of seed. And a God who invested his sunlight and rain in the soil he had put there. And a people were called in to labor, yes. But they were also called in to get part of the harvest. You never serve God without getting a reward back again. But I want to tell you, in closing or somewhere along the line, relationship. You get paid for what you create and what you accomplish and what you get done. And a lot of people are spending in marriages. Think of a couple that I knew. A year. They hadn't had sexual relations because they chose not to. A marriage went bad. And the man wonders what's wrong. How could something happen to our marriage? Man, what marriage? You mean your separation? What happened to your separation? That's not a marriage. That's two people separate. Some people, I've been serving God for 20 years, and this is what I get. All God gives me is dirt. Then sow something in it. Dirt's pretty good when you plant something. Whole lot of Christians. God's blessed them. Oh, my husband gives me his dirt. And the church gives me dirt. Neighborhood gives me dirt. I'm tired of getting people's dirt. Hallelujah, you're in business. You're a farmer. Plow the field. Plant. You're going to get a harvest. You don't plant in marble floors. What do you think is dirt used for? It's what God gives people so they can get a harvest. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to make it. You stick around me, you're going to make it. I said you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Hallelujah. That's easy for you, say that. Some preacher said, yeah, it's easy for him to say that. Man, he started with a whole lot of money. You go back and get the Detroit newspaper, I'll find the date, and you'll find me standing in the front row of the line getting cheese. As a young man, getting my share to take home to my wife. But hallelujah, he's given me bread since then. He's a God, hallelujah, that blesses. Glory to God. He will bless you. He will prosper you. And if you don't think you're hired to stand still and stay there, he comes around in morning, noon, and afternoon. And he says, what you doing here? Go on and go to work. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you say, well, luck just doesn't come my way. You keep courting luck and you're going to be buried. Take the money you played on the numbers, the lottery. Man, you invest it, you'd have enough money now. You can start affording to pay your tithe. Went to a city, stopped at the airport, and got picked up with a cab. A man driving the cab, just talking, said, you know, I've been trying so hard to hit that big one. My wife's been trying so hard. See, we just keep on plowing it in. I just know it's going to happen. No, that's not your church and that's not your religion. You have been joined to somebody who pays you for what you do. Hallelujah, not for being lucky. You'll never be lucky for long. Luck has nothing to do with it. You've been planted in his promises. You've been planted in his wisdom. You've been planted in his understanding. Hear me, Christian. You're surrounded by non-intelligence, surrounded by non-education. Anybody knows that making it is a matter of attitude. But how many kids do you know going to school? They're teaching them you gotta have a right attitude to succeed. No, they're telling you how to join the ERA bunch. They're telling you this, that, something else that won't do you a hill of beans. And they quit school or finish school and it doesn't make any difference. They stand around waiting for something to happen. But God says, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. Hallelujah. Surely come. This is not an end to a message. It's just a moment of sharing of the fact that God has something for us so much bigger than what we've ever tasted of. And I've gone through the supermarket and I can't find it. I know the product, but I've gone through the supermarket and it's not there. Government doesn't have it. Education doesn't have it. The average church doesn't have it. But God says it's a product. It's on the market. You can find it somewhere. It is abundant life. Hallelujah. And there is something that God has for his people if you will sell out completely to God. A lot of people, they drive by the corner of 8 Mile and Gratiot and say, I guess nobody's hiring anyhow. Man, you better park that car and you better stand there and stay there until it's too late. And then you better be there the next morning early, because there's somebody who hires the unemployed. His name is Jesus. He's got a job to get done. Hallelujah. Stand with me in the service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to start a school in September. Kindergarten through eighth grade. We're going to have chapel. I'm going to preach to those kids. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to throw my back for candy and say, come on, let's go make some money. You need a pair of shoes? Let's go get it. You need a trip? Let's go get it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to feel sorry for nobody. Hallelujah. I'm going to yell as loud as I can, what I have give I unto thee. Hallelujah. I know what's worked in my life will work in every life that's here. He's a God who can change you, rearrange you, transform you. I don't care how hard it is that must have made you tough, then get out there and win. Raise your hand and begin to praise God for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to tell you something so I can remember it. This church is going to have every dime that it can use. Every dime that it needs, it's going to ever have a bigger burden and a bigger vision, and it's going to have more money come through this congregation than we have ever had come through this congregation. This church is going to grow. This people are going to be blessed better than they've ever been blessed in their lives. You're going to prosper because God is a God of prosperity. I'm going to preach like I never preached before, and I'm not going to cut you an inch of slack. You're going to grow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You're not going to run around cheating on your wives. You're not going to forsake your kids. You're not going to sit around in a pity party, but you're going to win and let the world look and see you've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to turn to a broken people and say, "What I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." God's going to use you for His glory. God's going to hire you to show His glory, to demonstrate His glory in the earth. Praise the Lord. Raise your hand and praise God for a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Those of you here who are unsaved or backslid, I want you to leave your seat and come straight to the altar right now and stand in the close of this service. Today's your day of salvation. Time to get right with God. Break with sin and say, "God, I want the abundant life." God's hiring you right now. God's hiring you right now. God's hiring you right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You've heard the truth. You've heard the word of God. His promise is that you can have life and have it more abundantly. That's the promise of an eternal God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Others of you God is speaking to, I want you to come. While they're coming, I want to speak to you who are born again. Christian, begin to start to read. The devil's biggest trick is to keep people from reading. Your attitude and your thoughts is going to declare exactly what God is able to do in your life. Read, read, read. I don't care if you've never liked to read in your life. If you can't do anything else, grab the end off the TV cord and bite it off. Hallelujah. You say, "Well, we won't be able to watch you." It's not the only thing you're watching. Start reading. Start reading. No people have ever been changed who had an opportunity to read. Begins to come into your mind that's not been there yesterday. You've got to be fed mentally. You've got to read. You've got to read. You've got to. Turn to God and begin to pray. Reach the place where you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. You don't have to defend your experience. You can proclaim it. Your experience is going to set you free and make you what you would never have been. I'm not going to get you to heaven. I'm going to get you through this earth. The trump of God will sound, and God will get you to heaven. But I want you to live godly in this present world, in this present hour, to bring glory to God. God's put you here to be blessed today. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who've come to this altar to commit their lives to you completely, bless them, dear God, we pray right now. And in the name of Jesus, right this moment, I ask, dear God, that you would grant a decision to turn to Christ. Hire them, dear God, for kingdom business from this moment on. You that have come for God's power in your life, just... And you'll find how far people will stoop to build a king. How they will manipulate to put a robe upon somebody. They were those who were willing and able to join Jesus' party and make him Messiah. And he walked down to those who had something wrong with them, not just sin, but the meek. He walked down to those who were poor in spirit. They weren't looking for the big things. He walked down to those who cried. He walked down to those who were tender, good-natured, to those who had no ulcers or no high blood pressure because of stress, and said, I've got something for you. I've got a kingdom that you'll really like. 1 minute more. If you're building a kingdom, if you're in the middle of the rat race, you're never really going to appreciate Jesus. The only reason I can think of for a person who's in the middle of the rat race to come to Christ is maybe two reasons. One is because of guilt. Secondly, is fear of hell. I don't see how you can want to build your kingdom and really be impressed with his. You've got to have no kingdom of your own to really like his. But God can change us. The Holy Spirit is speaking in this room right now to hearts. And there's some of you, you don't know why, but you do know somehow that God has touched you. And if you're willing to be what the world doesn't like, weak, whatever, if you felt that kind of a heart inside of you, I want you to come and stand with me at this time around this altar and ask God to somehow accomplish whatever he has in mind in your life. For every one of us, we're meant to be an influence. God has called us for something to do. I'm going to ask you to come at this time. I believe that God is speaking to hearts. The world's slogan is, we're number one. We try harder. We're going to make it. I guess it fits somewhere. I'm sure it does. But if it becomes your creed, you become godless. If it becomes your creed, you become without faith. No man can serve two masters. If you've got to get to the top of the mountain, you'll never look at his mountain. This may frustrate you some, and there might be some questions that are not answered. You may say, well, what are you supposed to do? Are you not to use your gifts? I didn't say that. Are you not to do your best? I didn't say that. But what I will say is what Jesus said. That man who doesn't have to pit his skill against yours to prove that he beat you at Indian wrestling or anything else, he's the blessed man. You who have to come off on top on every time, you're going to pay for it in your marriage. You're going to pay for it in the relationship you have with other people. You're going to pay for it all down the line. The man who has to prove himself believes that only the best have a right to survive. No, only the blessed. Only the blessed. Not the best, but the blessed have a right to survive. God has blessed you with his grace. I trust that the Holy Spirit will work in this service. There's something in the Sermon on the Mount that is the foundation of everything that's in Christianity. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand Christ. And I think a lot of us have never understood Christ. Though we've known him, we know not what spirit we are of. May God help us. Oh God, right now I pray that you'd minister to husbands who have to prove themselves. Minister to beautiful women who have to prove themselves. Minister, dear God, to people with needs that have to prove something, filled with pressure and anxiety. My God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon us. The power of his grace would touch us.
the hand of God would be upon us. I ask, dear God, for a miracle today. I ask for a miracle, dear God, in this moment. I ask, dear God, for your touch. In Jesus' name, I ask that the blessing of the Lord would be upon every person who stands in this service, at their seats or at the front, that the hand of Jesus would be upon them to bless them abundantly. And we'll thank you, dear Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel God in the service today.